All right, this evening we are going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting verse 1. As I was reading and studying this week, let's go ahead and let's open in prayer and ask God's blessing. Father, we just lift your word up to you and pray that you would bless it. Lord, it is already so blessed that, Lord, bless it to our lives, Lord, that it would make a difference. Lord, so many times we think, well, this doesn't really apply to us. Lord, all of your word always applies to us in some way. Father, show us, teach us. In your precious name I pray, amen. As I was reading this week, there's several different commentaries, and one of them, I don't remember which one it was, but it said, if you had to pick one of Paul's letters, or one of Paul's sermons, which one would you think was his best? And he went to naming them all off, and he said, honestly, he said, I think they're all great, but he said, I would say his best sermon was in 1 Thessalonians. And basically chapter 2. And he said it's really not a sermon. It's his life. It's what he was doing with his life. And whether we all want to admit it or not, we are all preachers of the gospel. Now, I'm the one that has to stand up here behind this this box behind me most of the time. But when we present the gospel of Jesus Christ with our life, and I know I always say we need to make sure we're telling it, not just living it. But if we're telling it and not living it, then it does no good. So Paul here is going to go into this, and he's going to talk about the things that have happened in his ministry in the past. And then as he goes into Thessalonica, starting in verse 1, it says, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. That though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." So, everybody knew how they'd been treated at Philippi, how they had been beaten, they had been imprisoned, they had faced all of these things, and they were doing what they knew God had called them to do. They were going on to preach the gospel, but what happens when you try to present something to somebody? If you're a salesperson and you go into a business to try to present to them whatever it is you're selling, or if you go to a door-to-door, which they don't really do anymore, but if you went to one place and you tried to present what you're selling and they didn't take it, would you present it the same way the next time? Or would you alter your presentation? Well, the last one didn't work. The last store I took my product to and tried... they didn't like the way I came across. Maybe I was too forceful. Maybe I was too cocky. Maybe I wasn't forceful enough. And so in a situation like that, what we would do is we would probably alter the way we present it. If the way we're presenting it doesn't work, then we would change the way we present it. And there are a lot of churches today that do that with the gospel. They want to take, and it seems like nobody is receiving it, so let's change it just a little bit and let's sugarcoat it and let's add this and let's do this activity and let's do that activity and let's do all these other things, because the world today is different than it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And so they want to alter the way they present the gospel. And I think sometimes they go too far, because Paul here, he doesn't change a thing. Man, when he comes to present the gospel in Philippi, and they stone him. They put him in prison. They beat him. And he goes to Thessalonica, and he presents it the same way. Because you cannot alter the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can add to it or make it more presentable. I can't do anything and say anything any different to make you receive it any quicker. I can't hold back part of it in hopes that this part doesn't offend you. And Paul, as he comes to Thessalonica, he's talking about his ministry here, and he says, you already know that what we went through, but we come to you, and it's not in vain. In other words, it paid off. It was something that when we brought it to you, you received it. It made a difference. Even though we presented it the same way in Philippi, we were treated that way. But what we did is we came with boldness before God. When we go to talk to people about Jesus Christ, do we go boldly? We know that the Bible tells us that we can boldly go before the throne of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. When that veil was ripped, we can boldly go before the throne of God because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But too many times when we go to share the gospel with somebody, we go timid, we go soft. We don't want to scare them away. I think sometimes our problem is we try to present it in a way that, well, I really wish you would take this instead of you really need this. When we present it that way, and Paul is saying here, he says that we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel in the midst of much conflict. As I'm reading that this week, and it's easy for me to boldly come and share Jesus with somebody if they're going through a situation and it's rough, and I can come and I can share that Jesus Christ is their only hope, and I can come and I can express to them what He's done in my life through testimonies. And it's easier for me to be a little bit more bold in that case. But what about when you're facing much conflict? That's when it's not as easy. That's when we're boldly going before Pharaoh, like we talked about. We're boldly going before people that have cast us out. We're boldly going before people that don't want what we've got. And that's what Paul had done in Philippi. That's what he'd done in Thessalonica. But it had made a difference to the people in Thessalonica. And so he says, we boldly came before you to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is witness. Now, as he shares those verses there, There's something in there that I think is that we can find for us. Because as he presented the gospel, he come basically, he says there in verse 3, he says, our appeal does not spring from error. It comes with the truth. We are telling the truth. We are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are sharing the truth of God with somebody that needs truth. If we alter that in any way, we've messed up. So, it's like you've always heard people say, if you lie, you're going to have to remember that lie. And then you're going to have to remember the next one. But if you tell the truth, you have nothing to worry about. When Paul tells him, he said, we came and when we preached the gospel to you, when we shared the good news with you, There was no error in it. It was total truth. So I don't have to worry how somebody is going to perceive what I'm saying, because it's the truth. They may not like what I say. They may not receive what I say. Or they may fall completely in love with Jesus Christ because of what I say. But when I'm telling the truth, when you're telling the truth, I don't have to worry about them finding some fault in what I'm saying, because I'm sharing the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. I've talked to people for years and years about trying to get them to witness, from youth all the way up through adults. And the biggest thing is, I don't know if I'll know what to say. What if they question me? What if they come up with a question that I can't answer? Do you know the truth? Do you know the truth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down? He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He surrendered His life to die on a cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again, and He ascended into heaven, and He's coming back for me. And I have to surrender my life to Him. That's the truth. I don't have to come up with anything else. Some people think that they've got to defend God. You can't defend God, and I can't defend God. And first and foremost, God doesn't need me to defend Him. He doesn't need you to defend Him. All I've got to do is share the truth that He's given me. That's what He wants us to do. But Satan will convince us that, well, what if you get in an argument with that person? Have you ever, and I know you have you ever been in an argument with somebody and they were right and you knew it? And you just kept trying to come, and all they would do is just go right back to what they said that was right. And there's just no way you can, it's just so frustrating, because I even know they're right, but I'm going to try to convince them that they're wrong, but they know they're right. You can't fight that argument, because it's not really an argument. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to share the truth. If you don't want to believe the truth, then that's your choice. But I'm not going to argue with you, because to argue is for me to try to change your mind. I'm not going to try to change your mind. I'm going to present you with the truth. That's what Paul did. And he says, when we presented this gospel, it came with no error, and it came with impurity. As he spoke, one, he said the truth, but two, it came with purity. There was nothing else added. He didn't have to add anything else. Tell them how, you know, all of these other things, or let's go do this, or let's add this to it, and let's blend that in and scoop that all together, and let's put some sprinkles on top of it, and let's put some syrup on it, and let's make this ice cream look really good. And it's ice cream. It doesn't need all that other stuff. But it's the same way if you look at gold. When they refine it, they take all the impurities out. And that's when it's at its best value, is when all the impurities are out. There are so many churches out there today and false beliefs that think they're churches, and they have so much that they've added to the gospel. If you do this, if you send money in, if we will pray for you and you will be blessed. And if you will do this, God will bless you. If you answer this by 4 o'clock tomorrow, God will bless you. God's going to bless you anyway. He's a God that's His business. He blesses us. But they add all these things to it. If you do all this, then God's going to be on your side. And they're adding all kinds of impurities to their gospel. Paul said, we don't need to do that. There's nothing added. There's no error. There's no impurities. And it goes on, it says, or to attempt to deceive. Well, now, people that are trying to get us to believe, if I tell you the truth, that's one thing. If I tell you the pure truth, that's something else. But Where would deception come in? Well, he's talking about false teachers here that were going through and they were trying to discredit Paul's ministry. And so they would add things. They would try to deceive people into believing and following them. Some would even say that the resurrection had already happened. And some would say that you could have faith as well as follow the law. And you need to combine the two. And that's not what Paul's saying. He's saying they are deceiving you. When I present the gospel or when you present the gospel to somebody, there is no attempt to deceive. Because it's the truth. It's pure. There's no deception. And it's so much easier just to set it out and say, here is a glass of water that has nothing in it. And on a hot day, like we've had, if you've got a nice, cool glass of water, and it's right there, there's no impurities in it. I'm not going to deceive you and tell you it's Sprite. I'm not going to deceive you and tell you it's something that it's not. It's just right there. And the choice is up to you if that's what you want. And that's how Paul is presenting the gospel, is here it is right before you. It's nothing that I'm doing special. So many times we think when we go to witness to somebody, we have to come across with some way to get them to believe what we believe. The Bible says unless the Spirit draws them, they're not going to come to Him. But the Spirit may be drawing them through what you say. And so we need to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the same way Paul did. The truth, pure, without deception. He goes on in 4 and he says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, you have been approved by God, entrusted with the gospel. Wow. I know for a long time, it's like, why would God want to use me? Or why would God want to use, you know, I was the truck driver. I was this, I was that. You were this, you were that. Why would God want to use us? Why would God just say, no, I approve of you being my spokesperson. I approve of you going out and telling the world about my love. God approved of you to do that. God approved of all of us that have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. He approved of us. He entrusted to us the gospel. So we speak not to please man, but to please God who trusts our hearts. There were so many false teachers at that time that what they were doing is they were setting out, because I can get a bigger following if I please man. If I try to present the gospel and I do it in a way to please man, Galatians 1, I think it's verse 10, says, if I'm still trying to please men, I will not be a servant of God. But there were so many people that wanted to please man because then they would have this big following, or then they would be in with the in group, with the Pharisees or whoever. They would have a connection then. If they were trying to please men, then they didn't have to worry about the confrontations. Paul's saying, I didn't do it that way. I didn't do it to please men, but I did it to please God, who tests our hearts. There's a lot of times that people say, well, we need to go out and we need to be witnessing. That's what the Bible tells us. We need to go out and share the gospel. You'll never fully understand what you have in God unless you're out sharing your faith. And so I want this and I want that and I want to be doing what God wants me to do. So I'm going to follow this path that I know the Bible tells me to follow. And I'm doing it because the Bible tells me to do it. Paul says they didn't do it to please men, but they did it to please God. I'm not doing it because I should. I'm not doing it because I have to. I'm doing it to please the God of the universe. too many times as Christians, we think, well, as a Christian, I should read the Bible. I should pray. I should do all these things. I should minister to other people. I should. Yes, I should. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But we should do those out of our love for God, not out of some rule that we feel like we have to measure up to. Because God's testing your hearts. He knows that if I go knock on 100 doors because I feel like that's what I should do, that's how I meet my quota for the week, is to knock on 100 doors and to make 200 phone calls, and that's my quota, that's what I'm doing. Or if I go and I make one visit because I want that person to come to understand the love of Jesus Christ. That's one a lot more. That's the heart that God wants, because He's reading my heart. He knows if I'm doing it just to please men or to please myself. But He says we do it to please God who tests our hearts. Verse 5, for we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, for God is witness. There were so many there at that time that were going around and they would have philosophies and things and saying, hey, you need to do this and you need to do that. And their whole purpose was to go and basically be paid for it. And they would come to a place and they would demand or require money for them to come into to what we would consider maybe preaching or reading or sharing their philosophy with people. And he said they would come even for the point of flattery, for the point of some type of gain, some type of we just want to make them feel better so they'll give us more money. Paul said that was not the case. When you share the gospel, when we shared the gospel, God knew our hearts, and we didn't come trying to speak words of flattery. We didn't do it to try to get rich. As God is our witness, we didn't do that. He said, nor did we seek glory from people. And so many times today, that's what it's about. It's about seeking glory from other people. Well, what are they going to think? What are they going to think? Or if we present it in this way, then what are people going to think? It's about what God thinks. We are not to do it to flatter people. We are not to do it to make money. We are to do it to honor God and to please Him. He goes on, he says, we didn't seek glory or whether we did not seek the glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as an apostle of Christ. Now that was the thing, the apostles, as they would travel, churches would take collections and send them out and send them money. And that was something that was normal. That was something that was supposed to happen. But he said, we didn't even do it for ourselves. We did not do it so that we could collect that offering. We did not come and share with you. We didn't share with you the gospel just so that you would share with us an offering. We did not do it for ourselves, basically. Excuse me. But, verse 7, but we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. There's an analogy here, and then again over, I think it's in verse 11. This one talks about a mother, how a mother loves and taking care of her own children. And one of the commentaries this week, it said something about, you know, how it always talks about how a good man works from sun up to sundown, and a good woman works 24 hours a day with her kids. And that's what it's referring to here, is they come in and they're referring to themselves as the same way that a mother cares 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, come in like this nursing mother taking care of her own children. And because of that, they became so close to the people and sharing the gospel of God with them, they even became very dear to them. We share the gospel out of love. Too many times the gospel is shared because it's a program. And I can remember learning several different programs when I was in college. I actually heard one this week about how you take your fingers and your thumb is your hitchhiking finger. You get a free ride. Okay? Grace comes from God. It's free. You can't earn it. Salvation you can't earn. The pointer finger, you got to point out sin. The biggest finger, the greatest finger is God. It all revolves around Him. The ring finger, that's the bridegroom of Christ that came and died on the cross for you. And then the pinky is the smallest, and just the smallest amount of faith in Jesus Christ is all you need. And you can learn those, and you can learn so many different things like that. And you can come and present that to somebody as a program, and it does absolutely nothing. Because there's really not a whole lot of love in it. And Paul is saying here that we came to you, we shared this true, pure, unadulterated gospel of God with you because we loved you. It wasn't because we had to. It wasn't because... excuse me. It wasn't because we were required to. It wasn't because we wanted you to like us or we wanted to feel better about ourselves. It was because of the love of God that we had for you, because God had placed that in their hearts. They saw them as lost, and they shared with them. It goes on in verse 9, it says, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers." Man, was he up there? He was holy and righteous and blameless. That's what we're supposed to be. Holy, we're set apart. When we accept Jesus Christ, He sets us apart to share His love and His faith and His good news with other people. So we are to be holy as He is holy. We are set apart. We're supposed to be righteous. That's our right standing before God. We're supposed to be in a right standing relationship with God, which only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And then blameless, we're supposed to live a life that would be blameless before other people. So we're set apart, we're right with God, and we should be right with people. And that's what He's saying. He said, that's all we were. We were the witnesses. You saw us that way. God saw us that way. Verse 11, "For you know how like a father with his children we exhorted you, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in the manner worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." So now, Paul is saying, we presented the gospel to you. We did it in this way. We were holy and righteous and blameless before you. But we did it to exhort you, to encourage you, and to comfort you, and to urge you to live the life that God wants you to live. So many times, we never get to this part. And I'll close with this, because this is what I'm talking about. We can present the gospel as a truth. We can present it pure. We can present it without deceit. We can present it plain for the right reasons. And when they accept it, we turn around and go on to the next person. Here, Paul is saying, we did all of this. We cared about you. But now, like a father with his children, we're not going to stop just because you've accepted Christ. Just because I witnessed to you and you prayed and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, now I'm going to be like the father part of the you know, the mother cared consistently, and the mother took care of them because she cared for them. But now the father is charging the children, or he's telling them, this is how you should live. And so as Paul is telling them, he says, we're, as a father, I'm encouraging you, I'm comforting you, I'm urging you to live with a manner worthy of God. It's so much easier just to witness to them and find yourself a good church, find yourself a Bible study, get you a Bible and start reading. But he says, we shared this with you, we presented the gospel to you, and now we want you to understand how it is that you are supposed to live the life worthy of the calling of God. And so that's what he's telling them to do, because the one who calls you into his own kingdom and glory, we share it, but they need to understand it's not, well, Steve shared this with me or Sandra shared this with me. They shared it with me, but it's through God. Live a life worthy of God, because he's the one who's calling you into his own kingdom and into his glory. So as we look at this short passage here, just 12 verses tonight, God just really laid on my heart this week that the same way Paul presented the gospel to the Thessalonians is the way we are supposed to present the gospel. But the thing that I get is where it said under much conflict, you and I are the salt of the earth. What happens when salt gets into an open wound? Well, our world that we're witnessing to is an open wound. They're not going to receive that. What about the fact that we are supposed to be light? And the Bible tells us that people love darkness. But we're still supposed to be light. But they like the darkness because their deeds are evil. Even in that case, we are supposed to still be the salt and the light to those people. And we do it very simply as true, pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, which we all know. We'll come up with excuses as to why we can't share it, but we can, and we need to. We do it out of love, and we do it before God to please him. That's what he's called each of us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, and as we see how Paul shared your good news with these people, Lord, I pray that you would show us, encourage us to live that life. Lord, to do it not because that's what it says to do, but because we love you. Because you love those people that are lost. Father, help me to see them the way you do. Help me to love them the way you do. Lord, forgive me where I fall short. May I seek to glorify and honor you. In your name I pray. Amen.